Session number 11207, Real Well. Mr. J.F. Bell, Real One. When and where were you born, Mr. Bell?
South Shields, 16th of January, 1914.
Did your father and mother both work?
No, no.
Where did your father work?
I didn't know my father, put it that way. Lived there till what, about 5 years old. And my mother married a chap from Hartlepool.
Did you have any brothers and sisters?
My stepbrothers and sisters, yes. Two stepsisters and a brother.
What kind of area were you living in?
The Long Terrace Street in South Shields. And then 2 or 3 hours in Hartlepool on the headland. Old Hartlepool, as you know. You know much about Hartlepool. And them days it was Hartlepool and West Hartlepool. And we lived down the town there for, right away till I joined the army anyway. So I came here when I was, what, about 7 years old.
Which schools did you go to?
Just the ordinary, ordinary schools in them days, you know. You went to one school till you were about 11, then to the other one, Gallisfield and Baltic Street, down the town, you see. And left school at 14, which you did do in them days. And the first job I had was in a proper timber yard, carrying timber. I lasted there about 12 months. I got the sack, and then I went into the shipyards, catching, which in them days were all hand-riveted, you know, catch a lad. Anyway, I got fed up with that. And I was reading something about the Gravesend Sea School, so I applied to go there. I passed the exams, things, and I went there anyway. I went there for 6 months. And after my 6 month course, they found me a job on the Union Castle Line as a deck boy. I would only be 16 years old.
This was a kind of merchant navy training.
Merchant navy training place. At Gravesend Sea School, they called it. But anyway, I got a job in the Gloucester Castle, which was trading from London to the continent and back, and then to South Africa and back, you know. And I did 3 trips in there. It was nearly a 12-month, you know. It was roughly a 3-month trip.
Was the work hard?
Not really, no. When I first joined the ship, it was a job, but they were called what they used to call Peggy. You were like waiting, like a waiter on the bosun's mates and all them sort of people. And then there was a last trip I was on, I was bridge boy, which was a bit rough in them days because you did four on and four off, like watch, which is, if you were taking a 3 weeks journey, you didn't get much sleep. And, after that, I got it was travelling from here to London and back, so that's it. So this would be, 1932, beginning of 32. I was on the door for, nearly 6 months. I thought, I'm getting shot of this. And me and another chap went to the recruiting office, which in them days was in Church Street in Hartlepool. We went to join the Navy. And we gets in and this bloke said, he said, I can put you in the Derrens. So eventually, this is November 32, I got in the Derrens and the bloke that wouldn't have him.
And did you have a medical when you went into the army?
Oh, yes, I had a medical and a little bit of an exam, but you know what I mean? It wasn't much, I had two and two together and all that. And We got to report to Durham, which gave us a railway passing them, do you see? Well, the regimental Dunes is now enlisted there, and from there to Fenham.
Fenham Barracks.
Yeah, which is the start of the army career.
How were you received at the barracks?
Oh, it just took us, I think there'd be about, 30 of us, you know, the usual squad. They took in as a squad, you see. Oh, just the usual, you know, the bit of yelling and bawling and shoving and pushing, but not too bad. And they dish you out with the uniforms and all the rest of it, see.
And what kind of uniforms were you given in those days?
Oh, serge, putties, white belts, swagger sticks. But, sorry, you got two of everything. What they call them now, two drawers cellular, two vest cellular, two wooden long drawers and two woolen vests, a cardigan, two suits of khaki, no, one suit of khaki and one suit of denim drill things, two caps, a cap and a fatigue hat. You know, like I've always seen in the First World War, they soft, one of them. And your couple of brushes and what have you, you know, for cleaning it up and that, but that's about, you know.
What was the accommodation like?
Just ordinary, two-storey barracks, I don't know where they were. Oh, you wouldn't see them for them. They're just ordinary barracks. Roughly, 30 men to a room with pulley-out beds and three biscuits, two sheets and two blankets and a pillow, and that was your lot.
What was life actually like at Fenham from the beginning? Were there lots of duties, lots of training?
All training. Oh, the usual. Well, see, in them days, you did the drill that they did in the 1914 war, if you know what I mean. You formed fours and formed to deep and all this. And really, it was a little bit intricate. You know, I don't know whether it would learn you to obey orders and things like that, you see. You always have to count, see. The way you used to fall in, tallest on the right, shortest on the left. And then you numbered, and you took one pace forward and one pace back, then right and left turn, and you finished up. All the little blocks were in the end, the two tall blocks on the doings. See, all that sort of thing, you know. And PT. But really speaking, it wasn't really a hard life, providing that you said to yourself, right, oh, I'm going to make the best of it. Right? And actually speaking financially, you were better off than what you were outside. Even enjoyed them 2 shilling a day, and we used to draw 10 shilling. And the other 4 shilling went in to pay for, you know. Well, 10 shilling a week, like more or less pocket money in them days, was quite a lot of money, eh?
Do you have any memories of the first group of men that you were with?
Yeah, one or two, you know. As I say, like, you're going back a long time now, you know, and you try to visualise them at times. We had a decent crowd of blokes, like, you know. Nobody really obnoxious and nobody really, you know, doing. They were quite a good crowd of blokes, really. You see, I don't know, I can't think now what.
There wasn't any bullying of that kind of nature going on.
Well, not bullying and shouting at you, but not. Nobody ever knocked you around or anything like that. You know what I mean? Not like you read today, none of that. You see, one of the things they used to say, the older blokes, well, keep yourself clean. Yeah, what for? If you don't, they'll take in the showers and brush you down with a hard scrubbing brush. That's what he used to. I think the worst thing up there, from what come to my mind, was cold fatigue. In them days, you had to have a big, I forget what they call them, bat thing, you know, steel. And you had to go and take the call for the married families. Well, they had a 3-storey block. Well, it was all right and down, but when you had to go up the three story with this bloody big bag of bear scuttle of coal in, it was tiring. You know, I mean,
were there any other kind of duties that you had to do, had to perform?
No, we didn't do no guards or nothing like that. You see, there are permanent staff for there for that. All you had to do was to learn your job. One of the characters up there was Cushy Ernie. I don't know whether you've heard of him, from Spennymoor. Well, yeah, Eldred, they called him. Well, he wasn't in our squad. My squad squad sergeant was Chinny Kemp. He was a sergeant. I forget the name of the corporal, the man's corporal now. But Cushy Ernie, you could hear him all over. And one of his favourite doings was bayonet training. He's a Southam guard. Oh, I'm the cushy little bastard from Spenny. Wrong guard. And, yeah, but there was never no ill treatment. You know, nothing like that. Not to my, I can't ever remember anybody, you know, getting a good hiding or anything like that. I don't know, like, you know, whether, you know, what you read about today, there was none of that. You know, they kept you fairly busy and fairly fit.
Was the food good?
Well, it was possible. If you were hungry, all food's good, isn't it? And you were all on a daily ration, you see. You only got so much, and that was your lot.
What times were your meals?
Breakfast would be 8 o'clock, I think. Dinner would be 12. Tea would be 5 o'clock, but you never got no supper. So, if you wanted anything, you went to the canteen and you had to buy a cup of tea and whatever you wanted, see? And of course, you had to provide your own toothpaste, boot polish and all this sort of thing. See?
And did you parade for each of these meals? You were marched to them?
No. Some of them you did, but, well, yeah, when you first went, but as you got towards the end, you know, at the end of your 6 months, you sort of didn't, you know. See, when you first got there, they did form you outside for your meals, take you down, and then doings. But as you got towards the end, they started easing off and just letting you go on your own.
What squad were you in?
Inkerman.
And how many squads were there on the training?
I don't know, four, I think. I'm trying to think now. Inkerman, Solomon, Hoge, another one, I forget. I think it was four. See, and they used to phone about once every 3 months. See, as, say, like our squad finished, went to join the battalion, they would take another intake in, you see. I've often wondered, now, in the gymnasium, they used to have a big board with the name, the best PT bloke in the squad. My name's on it. And, you know, like, you know, you just have to do a passing out thing on the PT, you know, gymnasium and a mile, and you have to run 100 yards and that sort of thing. So,
They kept you pretty fit. You got to be.
Oh, you had to be fit. Oh, you had to be, yes. Oh, yeah.
So did you have PT regularly?
Oh, yeah, every day. Do you? Unless you went on a route march, I mean, you couldn't go very far in around Newcastle. You used to go up, what they call it now, where Fenham is, that area there. There'd be some fields at the back of there.
How far would your route march be?
Oh, for us in them days, maybe about 3 or 4 miles, you know. It wasn't, really a really tough one, you know.
And did you do this at light infantry pace?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of argument about light infantry pace, isn't it? Eh? You know, well, I always say like 120, 140 on the march past.
So the route march would be at 120, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
For the ceremonial?
The ceremonial about 140. You know, that'll depend on the bandmaster, you see. I mean, this is the thing. Eh? Anyway, you know, I wouldn't like. You know, depot now will put me mind back, what? 56, yeah, you know, I mean, it takes a bit of time.
What weapon training did you have?
Rifle, obviously, and what do you call them? Lewis guns. Yeah?
How did you find those?
Well, I got used to it, you know. I mean, But of course, there, you see, you didn't get your rifle issued, it you kept. When you left, you went down to the battalion with nothing. And you got your rifle, and you kept that rifle all through your service, practically, you know. Right, until you went to India or somewhere, like, you know, draft. Lewis Grunds and just ordinary 303. The Enfields, you know, that's all.
What about leisure activities, Mr. Bell? Was there any gambling going on?
Not a lot. There might have been an occasional, you know, two or three with their odd penny brags or something like that. But he didn't have the money, you know, for gambling. I can't even remember anybody putting bets on racehorses out like that, you know.
So very little. What other leisure activities did you have?
We didn't have any, really. You were there, I think, it was a fortnight, 3 weeks before you were allowed out. And as you went out the gate, you had to report to the guard room, obviously. There's a big mirror there. You, as a recruit, you never get out the gate first time. Always chased you back to have a look in the mirror. And you never done that. You just have a look in the mirror and then walk back in. You say, right, oh, what? And we had swagger sticks. I suppose you've seen a swagger stick, have you? A little cane like that with a regimental knob on the end.
And did you keep those?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I lost mine. No, I lost all my gear. Yeah. So I don't know.
So after 3 weeks, you would be allowed out. And where did you go?
Down in Newcastle, you see, you know, around the Haymarket and that way, you see, or maybe the pitches. But they only allow you out maybe twice or three times. You know, as you got on, maybe the first week allow you out one night, or next week two nights. You know, so on until you got, you know. We got 3 day leave at Christmas. So I went to South Seas, you know, to my relatives there, you see. And that's all we did get, you know. And then when we left there in March 33. Joined the battalion, 1st Battalion at Catrick.
And this was March 33, did you
say? March 33, yeah.
And how were you received at Catrick?
Oh, we just went and reported, and they shot you out to the various, you know, platoons and companies that you had to go to.
Where did you go?
I went to A Company, 4th Platoon. And I did all my service in A Company, apart from Bransford.
Can you recall your first commanding officer?
No. Yeah. CO, yeah. Humpy Greenwell. Way better of him than that. Greenwell. Company commanders, I can't really bring them back to mind. We had about three or four while we were there. I think one was Seabag Montefiore. Way better of him than that. Greenwell was command officer, and I think it was Churchill. Who was after that?
What are your memories of Catrick?
Dull, boring, you know. You have to make your own tunes. I mean, in them days, you see, we only got two bob a day. So, I mean, you didn't have the money to go out and, you know, sort of lash out. But we used to make our own fun, you know. Well, I'm saying own fun, you know, but there wasn't a lot there, really speaking. Half the time you'd be reading books or something like that, you know, unless you were on guard or on duty, you know.
Well, this is where your duty started.
Oh, this is where you start to be a soldier. You see, in them days, I don't know whether you know it or not, but you had to have your second class certificate of education to pass your doings on the range, qualify on the range, to get your extra sixpence a day, which brought you up to half a crown. But you wouldn't get 3 shillings a day till you had 3 years service in. Yeah? Well, this second class certificate of education was more or less regimental history. You went to school, like, you know, for an hour. And when you sat it, once you passed it, well, that was it. But if you really wanted to be how can I put it, education-wise, you could sit for your first class certificate of education. But very few was bought it.
They made a great effort to instill in your regimental pride.
Oh, yes. That was one of the main things, you see. I mean, this second class certificate of education was purely and simply regimental history, with a few little sums thrown in, which they didn't bother much about. Right? And that was, you had to get that, and you had to qualify in the range, I was a marksman on both, but you had to be first class on the rifle and on the Lewis gun, and then you got the extra sixpence a day, you see, which in them days was a canny lift.
Was there any great difference in the discipline between Fenham and Catterick?
In one way, you see, in Fenham, you see, they didn't expect you to do too much. But when you got to the battalion, you were expected to know what to do and what not to do. You couldn't go outside of a barrack room being properly dressed. You had to have a coat and a hat on and all this sort of thing, you see. Or if it was summer, you were allowed out with shirt sleeves. The more or less expected you to behave in a reasonable manner. And he knew if he didn't, well, that was it.
Was the accommodation at Catterick better or worse than that at Fenham?
Well, I would say it was worse because there were all wooden huts in them days. I mean, going back now, and all wooden huts, they were, as far as I can make out, I think the camp started as a prisoner of war camp in the First World War. With all wooden huts in the same sort of beds, and you had to keep the place clean and all that. And there was a little bunk in the corner where the NCO slept, in old place with the Sergeant Major. Brown, you've probably heard of him.
What was he like?
He was fair, like everybody else, If he did your job, that was it. But when I went there, the section commander, forgetting his name now, he worked in the orderly room. And he said to me, look, you, what do you want? Yeah. He said, you're down for promotion or employment. He said, if I was you, I'd take employment. I looked at him, I thought, Well, he said, look at it this way. He said, they're making an acting unpaid lance corporal. He said, it might last 18 months before there's a vacancy to make it a paid lance corporal. Or you might get busted. So anyway, I got employed. I was sent for me. He said, right, get down to Sands Mess and you wait there. So I still went down to Sands Mess. And you had to clean the place up and wait on at meals and, all the single sergeants and that,
Were you trained to do this? Did they train you to do this?
No, you just went and learned how to do it, You followed another bloke round and, not exactly trained, He didn't go on a course or nothing like that. He just went in and, learned how to serve the soup and all that the bloke could tell you. And how to take, drinks in and all the rest,
Did you have a change in uniform for this work?
No, I just have a little white jacket, like a mess jacket, but only a small one, You see, what used to happen there, a sergeant used to have to do a mess caterer every month, change over every month. We were still there. Well, I'd been there about, 6 months, something like that. Topper Brown come in. All of a sudden, you leave me call him Topper. I said, hey, you. I said, what? Did you cook? I said, what? Cook? I said, I've never been a bloody cook in my life. The cook was there with a bloke called Campbell. He was going on leave the next day. He said, well, now's your chance to learn. Get on with it.
So, again, you got no training?
Oh, no, I'd never had no training. Just had to get stuck in and do the best I could.
And they didn't give you any? No.
No, not till I went to India. It wasn't really doing, more common sense than anything, watching the bloke. I'd been watching the cook doing it all the time. But anyway, I didn't cook for a fortnight, I think it was. But in the meantime, we were pushing on too far now. We went to went to Stensel to fight our course. The one and only times I did defaulters. fired on one shot on the wrong jacket.
And you're in trouble for that?
Well, yes, I've got 7 days.
What did that mean?
Well, report to the guard room every night, you know, any fatigues or out like that you did, eh? The one and only time. But the thing that put me off, the range, it was 18 targets on it, which, you know, and they were all fairly close together. But anyway, the one and only time I did defaulters. It was Seabag Montefiore, give us them. And then we went from there to York Tattoo. And we marched. And they were dropping out like flies, a red hot summer's day. And we had all our gear on, the lot, packs and everything. No shirt sleeves, you know. But anyway, we did it. And after York, came back to Catrick, like, you know.
Do you have any memories of the tattoo? What form did it take?
Oh, I think we did. What did we do now? I don't know. It was dumbbells with little mirrors in, you know, that sort of thing. York. On the nerves, my there.
Kind of a physical kind of exercise.
Yeah, a physical exercise. I don't remember when I was, you know, what other people do. We were that long ago. Yeah, we had the usual mass bands and all this sort of thing. But anyway, after that, we're cutting it down now. The next year, we fight our course up at Bellaby. It's up on the moors. And it was really rough. And one time we were in a snow show and a bloke standing over you on the ground sheet keeping the snow off.
Well,
you're still fired, yeah. And further along was a few shops and Sandy Soldier's Home. I believe it's still there. I don't know now, right? But I believe it's still there. And there's a little bit of a swimming pool in.
When did you leave Catrick?
It would be October 34.
Where did you go?
Blackdown. And when we got to Blackdown, now, I don't know if anybody ever told you this, we got off at, what they call the station now, the station, and we had to march through the guards' barracks to get to our camp. And, they call RSM. But anyway, we're marching through there, you know, guards, now smarten yourselves up. Three guardsmen there sweeping the road. And of course, we knew and they should have known. When anybody's passing like that, not to send no attention. But they didn't. Just, this RSM. He didn't have to give them it. Next thing I saw, one of their sergeants come out and shot the three of them in the clink. And they all got 28 days apiece. Not for letting the guard down, you see, because our RSM was shouting, "You might be in the bloody guards, but we the dead and right in it. You will stand up." Especially in the guards' barracks, eh? But anyway, I got sent to, I was on the draft then, waiting to go to India. I said, right, the draft, I'm not going in the barracks, I'm going down to a hut in the RA's place. And he said to me, "You, get in the fire station there, you telephone orderly." So while we were there, I was telephone orderly in the damn fire station. But then, you know, but anyway, we left there and we went to India in February.
Can you recall the date that you set off for India?
February 15th, 1935.
What do you remember of the journey?
Troop ship was the Navassa, and you slept in hammocks, like the Navy, hooked up on the... unless you could get on the mess deck. Living thing. What? Remember going into... Port Said and Coaling, it was called coal ships in them days, and, you know, he didn't do a lot when, you know, and yet it was a 3 weeks voyage. Mm-hmm.
How did you keep yourselves occupied?
Well, you used to try and do a little bit of PT, but you couldn't do nothing on there, you see. I mean, that many troops on, there wasn't the room to do anything. So you just more or less cut yourself somewhere out the road and just lazed about. And that a bit of a canteen, you know, where you could go and get a cup of tea or something. But and a couple of the matlows had a crown and anchor board if you were daft enough to go and play it. But he didn't do really much on, you know, he couldn't. See, there wasn't the room.
And was the discipline strict on the ship?
Not really, no. As long as you didn't cause any bother or, you know, draw attention to yourself, then no bother. No bother at all.